We turn back to that psalm we read at the beginning of the service, Psalm 4. Psalm 4. Psalm 4, and this morning we look at this verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord. Now, when I prepared this message for this morning, I did not know, as we've already commented this morning, that we would have such a strong aroma coming from the next door neighbour's pipes from their kitchen. It lends itself to an analogy. I'm thankful that indeed, as we joked earlier on, I haven't got a problem with sausage sandwiches. But there's some cooking smells that when you have them wafting out of a pipe directly into your window are not that pleasant at all. And we have known them at times as well. But there are various aromas which do not give off a very nice smell. Even such things as you would not think would be unpleasant. For instance, you could go past a factory that makes very tasty boiled sweets, but the cooking process of a boiled sweet, the aroma of that cooking process is far from pleasant. Anyone who's been past a factory that makes boiled sweets will know that the stench is almost unbearable. And there are many things which are extremely unpleasant to behold. Just as indeed that there are there are aromas that are extremely pleasant, extremely nice. Now this statement here, offer up the sacrifices of righteousness, is speaking about offering up a sacrifice unto God that is unto him an aroma pleasant, perfect, acceptable. The only offerings, the only sacrifices that God accepts. And so at the outset, we see here, to offer up the sacrifices of righteousness is an impossibility with man. For everything that man does, everything that we do in the flesh, is polluted, tainted, being altogether an unclean thing. It is in the total depravity of sin. And it is clear from this psalm, as we read the context of the psalm, we see anyway at the beginning of this psalm, David cries out, in verse 1, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. For there is none righteous but God. And yet God says in his word here, God says in his word here to man, offer up the sacrifices of righteousness. And so, to offer something up, to offer anything in this world to another, to offer something up, you must be in possession of it to begin with. You cannot offer something up that you are not in the possession of. And so firstly, we see this morning, it is not the deeds and the religious works of the one making the offering that are righteousness. Many have this false notion today, as has always been the way, that somehow they can do something that is righteous. Many who profess to be Christian in their belief believe that they can perform righteousness. They say, yes, we believe that Christ Jesus is the only way of salvation, and we believe on him for salvation, but now we can do works of righteousness by our religious rituals, by our religious traditions, by our adhering to this and adhering to that. The nature of the offering we read of here, the nature of the offering God commands, requires, demands, the sacrifice that is to be offered up to God must be righteous, perfect, good, and holy. Must be righteousness. It must be righteousness. But there is none who is righteous. No, not one. No one can perform righteousness. In the Old Testament, the people of Judah offered up many sacrifices of animals. And even as God had commanded in his law, given through Moses. But so often, as was the case, they understood not the purpose of them, what they pointed to. See in Isaiah chapter 1, see what the Lord said to them. Isaiah 1 verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Says the Lord. To what purpose is all the religious observance that you say you do for me? To what purpose is it? Says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. That, dear friends, is how God views all religion of works. That is how God views all attempts and pretense at righteousness. That is how God views everything that is done outside of faith on his Son. Not only were the ancient people of God placing confidence in the number of animal sacrifices, which Hebrews 10:4 tells us clearly, which should never take away sins. And their offering up of them was dishonest, as we've just read, being not mixed with faith and lacking in true repentance toward God. But the sacrifices themselves were futile. They were futile. They were a waste of time. And so much that goes on today in the name of Christ. So much as what will be preached, so-called, today is a waste of time. It's futile. For it places the onus upon man. It tells man to do this and to do that, when man cannot perform any righteous act. But see also, how much also does the professed Church of Christ rely on works today that are futile? Be they rituals and traditions of the false gospel of decision making and the observance of the Ten Commandments to make you righteous. All manner of works, religions are but futile in God's sight. People keep new moon festivals and Sabbath days. You may think they don't. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. New moon and Sabbath times. Very much so as the observance of what they call Easter and celebrations such as harvest festivals take their dates from the movement of the moon. Always. But that's why the date changes. These God has not required nor commanded. Much stress is placed upon what people call Sabbath observance, even falsely proclaiming that the first day of the week, Sunday, is the Sabbath now, has somehow been moved. Now, this is a day that we set aside for the worship of God. We've been given it. In God's providence, it's been given to us. And we don't misuse it. But it's not a Sabbath. Sabbath speaks of endless works that indeed are continual. 6 days of work, then the Sabbath. Then another 6 days of work, then the Sabbath, of endless, continual toil and seeking to be right with God. When the truth is, for the true child of God in Christ Jesus, those called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the elect of God, have entered into their rest. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Sabbath. Jesus Christ, the Sabbath himself, the true Sabbath, entered into him into rest. Rest from all works to be right with God. All is finished. You see, most people's understanding of the righteousness of God Most people's works that they think are righteous, God detests. And that word does not do it justice. All works and deeds that you think to be good, which you do, are not the offering of righteousness to God. Isaiah 64:6 clearly saying, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, all of it. Anything you do as a believer, if it's not done in Christ, is not acceptable to God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So it is clear, when God says, offer up the sacrifices of righteousness, he is not saying, offer up the works of your hands. He is not saying, offer up the works of your will. He is not saying, offer up the works of religious observance. So we see, secondly, what is the sacrifice of righteousness? Or rather, who is the acceptable righteous sacrifice? Surely him who the sacrifices of the law all prefigured and pointed to, him who has fulfilled all righteousness. Him who has fulfilled all righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is for the elect of God, those chosen in him unto salvation, he is unto them the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Capitals all the way through. Perfection. This one who came to be baptized by John the Baptist at the Jordan. This one who had no sin. This one who had no sin to repent of. When John came preaching the baptism of repentance, and John forbade him, and Jesus said, permit it to be so, for thus it fulfills all righteousness. Because he pointed to that which he would perform when he was baptized, when he was buried, and he rose again, when he was indeed all the sins of his people compassed over him at the cross. The billows of God, they all came over him when he was indeed bearing his people's sin in his own body on the tree. And when he would rise again for our justification, to make us right with God, pardoned and accepted with God. You who know the Saviour are told of righteousness and offering up righteousness even now. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The people of God, if you belong to Christ, you come before God and you offer up acceptable sacrifices to him now. Acceptable. The sacrifice of righteousness. The sacrifice accepted by Almighty God. And so the only one he will be pleased to accept is presented to him in and through his Son alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. But see, not all can offer up this sacrifice to God. Offer up the sacrifice of righteousness. But not all can offer up the sacrifice of righteousness. As I said earlier on, you must be in possession of it to offer it up. You must have something to indeed offer it up. You must have Christ, who is all righteousness. You must have him. Otherwise, you cannot offer up the sacrifice of righteousness to God. Only such as are made alive, as indeed the royal holy priesthood we are. We're told here in 1 Peter 2:5, who offer up acceptable sacrifices are living stones, have been made alive, spiritually alive now. Only such as are made alive, for all by nature are dead in trespasses and sins. As Ephesians 2 clearly teaches. And only if you be born again of the Spirit of God through Christ. only then can you see the kingdom of God. Can you know what the kingdom of God is? And can you know the entrance is in and through Christ Jesus? You who believe the Saviour and his sacrifice, present unto God the sacrifices of righteousness. You who believe on this Jesus, the righteous substitute Saviour, and you alone, and only those who God calls by his grace, only such as God gives faith on his Son. Only these. Only these offer up the sacrifices of righteousness to God. Only these offer up to God that which is acceptable in his sight. Now once in the end of the world, this Jesus, this righteous substitute Saviour. Now once at the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26 tells us. You, God accepts totally. Totally. If you are trusting in Christ, God accepts you totally. How come? Well, as we read in Hebrews 10, those wonderful words of promise that were given through Jeremiah the prophet and were fulfilled in Christ, as he had put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Thy sins and thy lawless deeds I will remember no more. God totally accepts us in his Son, if we're in his Son. God accepts totally what he requires. God accepts totally from you who believe on Christ. He accepts totally what he demands. And what does he demand? Goodness, holiness, perfection, sinlessness, righteousness. Because all who Christ redeemed at the cross, those chosen in him, are now accepted in him, accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1 tells us. And as God accepts him, as God accepts his Son, so he accepts you who are in his Son, who believe his Son. He doesn't just accept you as he accepts his Son. He accepts you. And this is all of God's great grace and mercy, which was given from everlasting. 2 Timothy 1:9 saying, who have saved us and called us. He has saved us and he has called us. With a holy calling, a set apart calling, a calling like none other. Not according to our works, not according to our righteousness, not according to anything we could or have done, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Even the sacrifice of righteousness to God. It's amazing to behold. And praise God, it's true. It is clear we do not come to God presenting our own righteousness, for we have none. Titus 3:5 clearly stating, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. In the righteousness of another. This righteousness you come before God with, if you belong to Christ, is purely the gift of his free sovereign grace and mercy. And yet it's granted. It's granted to the child of God now. Thirdly, see how you know yourself to be in possession of this righteousness. And it's simple. How you know yourself to be in possession of this righteousness that is in Christ. That you can bring then before the Almighty and be accepted by God. You know yourself to be brought, and you will have known yourself to be brought in humility and faith. No one can present to God the righteousness acceptable to him who has not known themselves to be humbled before the living God. To have been brought to believe upon the Son of God. Yes, you know yourself to be brought in much humility, having the gift of faith on his son, to be broken in spirit, of a broken heart, poor in spirit, as Matthew 5 tells us. You know yourself to have been brought to be repentant of sin. The ones coming before God who can come and offer up righteousness before him must be, as Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You know yourself. You know yourself to have been the one who has come knowing you have nothing good to offer to God. And yet, you have been made to see your sin and to desire salvation. And you have brought your sin, your guilt, your repentance, and you've come before the living God in Christ, who says and is found faithful, saying, such as come to me, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. A broken and a contrite heart, thou wilt not despise. As surely as the man in the parable the Lord Jesus told of, the tax collector, the publican, who would not so much as raise his head to heaven, but said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. That's how you know yourself to be in possession of this righteousness that you offer up to God. Such ones as God comes and reveals their sin to them, and the fear of God's holy justice. The scriptures say the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. A wisdom, a knowledge of salvation from that sin. The word of God, the scriptures of truth, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. To know who is the wisdom of God. Christ and him crucified. You have been brought to know this. Know yourself to be in possession of righteousness before God. For indeed, to be accepted before God as righteous and offering up to him the sacrifices of righteousness, it is to trust his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one. As our text here in Psalm 4:5 says, it doesn't just say offer up the sacrifices of righteousness, but what goes hand in hand with this is put your trust in the Lord. You cannot offer up the sacrifices of righteousness unless you have trust in the Lord Jesus, unless you have trust in the Saviour. Unless you have trust in Jesus, the Lord, Jehovah saves. But if this is you, you're in possession of this righteousness. God accepts your offering to him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is the message, the word of God, which was preached unto you by the gospel. And believing this Jesus, you have righteousness before God. that of Jesus Christ, this message, the message of a perfect righteousness given unto chosen sinners, not performed by you who believed, but made yours and imputed, placed to your account, imputed to you by that mysterious transaction that took place on the cross in those 3 hours of darkness where Christ alone himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now listen to close. As always, there are only two sides of the fence. There are only two positions to be in. Only two. There's no middle ground ever. Only two. Only yes. Only no. Only good. Only bad. Only sweets, only foul. Listen, you are either, a sweet smell unto God, well pleasing to him, or you are a foul stench, and the wrath of God abides upon you. Only in Christ can you perform righteousness. But you who trust the Lord Jesus even now, you who know you trust the Lord Jesus, you who are brought to trust the Lord Jesus, he promises this. He promises that indeed that is acceptable. That which you trust is enough. That which you trust, that who you trust, is enough to make what you offer to God perfect, good, holy, acceptable, righteousness itself, tainted in no way. God's word tells us in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 6, I've lost my reading, but I know what we are saying, that we are made unto God in Christ. This is what we are made unto God in Christ Jesus. If we're believing on this Saviour offered up a sacrifice, and he offers up this sacrifice of himself, where he bore our sins. His sacrifice is a sweet smelling savour unto God. And so in Christ, if you're in Christ, if you belong to Christ, if you trust Christ, you are a sweet smelling savour unto God. And everything you do, everything you offer up to God in Christ is righteous, is righteousness. And God is well pleased with you as he is well pleased with his Son. I pray that indeed we will know what it means. We will know what it means to offer up the sacrifices of righteousness. And even us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we would continually, only ever offer up that which we offer to God only in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness, that all our works unto God would be a sweet smelling savour, the sacrifices of perfect righteousness.